Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Fucking go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller. Lou Moore is here.
All right.
Jimmy Campbell's here.
Hello.
And England's Rose, Pete Donaldson.
Oh, I'm here for a shoo-out.
Easy.
Oh, the epitome of easy. It felt so easy.
What a stroll.
So I put the penalty in the bottom corner and said, what were you worried about?
Earth footballers are easy.
Yeah.
As Gordon, the film goes.
Yeah. Raddy Bennett. England win a penalty shootout for the first time in a World Cup.
Can
How's
we
your
get,
aunt doing?
Yeah, I was about to say, literally about to select you. Can we get an update on your aunt? How giddy is she at this point?
I think she's gone full circle and she's calm.
Wow.
She's gone, so the giddiness has gone, because you can't get more giddy than that. And she's looked at Gareth Southgate and thought, that's the exterior that I want to hold.
I'm a bit confused. Has she put a waistcoat on? Yeah. I'm really confused as to why. I mean, I watched it back and I watched the highlights. I don't know. Why weren't England given some sort of trophy?
I know.
Yeah. I mean, we've won it, right?
Yeah.
For putting up with a sharps bin full of needles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those wankers.
Watch us lose a shootout against Sweden now.
Who cares?
Yeah. We've got that memory. Yeah. But Southgate,
He assured us that they'd practice them.
That was...
Why, though?
There was some...
The lottery went away.
We won the lottery last night.
Isn't it incredible? I'm buying a lottery ticket today, Dan.
Marcus, what's happening to your voice, mate? You don't even drink. What's going on?
Shouting.
Shouting.
What's the drinking got to do with it?
It dries the throat, Marcus.
It does, yeah.
It's a Tina Turner film, isn't it?
Yeah. I think so. Oh, latter-day Tina Turner. Yeah.
That was so enjoyable. What a penalty shootout. Like, what... There were just some good penalties taken. And nobody looked overly... worried.
Even Jordan Henderson's penalty, that was an incredible save.
Yeah,
it wasn't a great penalty, but it wasn't a particularly bad one. Mm. So, you know, you can't really...
I thought Pickford's save was better.
Yeah. His penalty save. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And he's
going
the
wrong way. Yeah. It's absolutely fantastic.
And obviously we'll come on to the game, but I just really don't want this to be forgotten because of the context and because of what went on afterwards. And what went on immediately afterwards. That save that Jordan Pickford made in the last knock into the of normal time.
Oh yeah,
it's one of the best World Cup saves I've ever seen.
Well, I mean, it's incredible. Isn't it?
Unfortunately, I didn't see a camera angle which showed if the ball was going to go just wide or hit the
post. No, it's going in.
Yeah. Was it definitely?
I think so. Yeah.
It wasn't replayed.
It was a fantastic piece of goalkeeping.
It's the only good save he had to make.
Colombia, exactly. Imagine doing nothing all game, and it probably goes double for the Colombian keeper. To be fair, he had very little to do as well. But like, imagine doing nothing all game and then pulling that out of the back.
That's amazing.
I mean, that was incredible.
That makes it even better, I think.
And that kind of sparked England into not life. Like, they were very on it. They were very defensive. They bossed the match. But that shot, the intensity of that shot was just like, oh my God, we could lose this.
Well, Colombia did score immediately after that.
That's what I mean. That's exactly. They were controlling
the whole
thing.
Yeah.
Well, the problem was, Pete, I completely agree with you. The problem was that England looked very, very comfortable with in possession and with what Colombia were offering, which was absolutely nothing. Mm. I mean, Colombia took the decision to approach the game in the way they approached it, which I thought was fairly embarrassing. I think if you're someone who comes to that tournament who's a casual football fan or who's watching a World Cup game for the first time, which is what the World Cup can be all about, I think you'd be switched off about that. You wouldn't want to watch
it. You're very disciplined with your words there, because on social media, you were sticking the boot into Colombia.
I had to delete a couple of tweets.
I've never seen Luke like that.
I may have tweeted a picture of Ian Botham's penis at one point.
Peter.
I said rub David Beckham's metatarsal for good luck for the penalty shootout. And then three people went, Peter, so I deleted it. That's all it takes, guys. I'm just letting you know, just three people saying Peter.
That's the tipping point.
That is the tipping point.
What if I say Peter three times? He's not a candy man.
Or do you disappear? Yeah, I don't know. Beefy's beefy.
Indeed. To wrestle it back to the football, I honestly thought... For a couple of reasons. Not least because when Colombia did choose to play, they looked actually okay.
That was maddening.
But secondly, Jose Pekerman was the manager of Argentina.
I know, 2006.
When they scored that goal with Cambiaso, right? Mm-hmm. That's 2006. To go from that as a manager to what he presumably sanctioned last night is such a fall from grace from a man who is widely respected as a coach and a tactician and as a manager at international level. That was, I'm sorry to say, and I can say this because England came out of it as one, so it doesn't win. So
it doesn't look chippy.
Doesn't look bitter. Yep. I thought it was absolutely horrendous. I genuinely thought it was utterly.
But it wasn't just the players; it was the coaching staff
from top to bottom, from
scuffing up the penalty area to Barrios's headbutt. What's his best case scenario there? Henderson's jaw explodes and he dies. What's he getting out of that? He's getting sent off with a competent referee.
I wonder if the whole sort of talismanic thing actually was to their detriment, because James Rodriguez didn't play, which was a huge plus for England, of course. And as Tim Vickery said, from a footballing perspective, it's a shame he didn't play. But I just think that Colombia, when he was deemed unfit, not even to be on the bench, I think they just thought, right, we're going to bring the trenches. Absolutely right. And it's such a shame because Colombia could have got at England a bit more. Now, they took England to penalties, of course. But England aren't that more superior than Colombia. They're a little bit better. But when Colombia actually tried to play a bit, they caused England a few problems. There wasn't really too many problems at either end. I would say that in the first half, England were in control. I think England control for most of the game. I want to talk about the penalty with Harry Kane when that was given. What is the matter with defenders? I've never seen the likes of this before.
Yeah, I mean, this was so bad that he actually bundled into the referee at one point while he was fouling Kane, and there was one in front of him.
There was one earlier when Kane was wrestled to the ground.
Yeah,
have they not got the memo? Did they not see the two penalties?
Mad.
But I remember thinking, you know, with Sterling with the little shoulder barge from that bell end, you know, and the technical stuff, and all that sort of stuff. I thought Colombia, they're going over the top now. And when the penalty was given, I thought, right, the referee's not going to have any of this. It was over 3.5 minutes from when the referee awarded that Kane penalty to when it actually was taken, and the referee lost control of the game.
I don't think he ever was in control.
Well, he seemed to try and explain everything like it was a game of rugby. But that's, you know, the explaining was obviously different to that, and the players seemed to be a little bit more disciplined in how they talk to a referee. Whereas here, he was trying to explain to every Colombian player and every English player, now this is my, and you just think, no, back off, right, you're not moving, yellow card. Anyone else, you're not moving, yellow card. But and that's how you do it.
And they were rotating fouls anyway, so they couldn't really have any more yellow cards. They brought people on to get yellow cards.
Yeah. The nerves are steel from Kane.
Yeah, he has got some testicular mass.
So is he in both of them.
Check Pete's Twitter feed for more. It was ridiculous how long it took them to take that penalty. And obviously the whole point, if people were going, well, why are they doing that? He's not going to reverse his decision. It's purely to get in Kane's head. And they did so much of that. I can't recall many games I've seen where so little actual football has taken place.
I thought it was a very Gareth Southgate performance in that it was stoic, it was still, they didn't lose their heads. I don't think at any point, really, and the most extreme provocation. I mean, like, can you imagine, like, you know, Bex would have been sent off in about 5 minutes.
Wayne
Rooney would have been sent off in about 5 minutes.
We've seen that.
Well, Wazza wouldn't have lasted long.
No. I think the further ever, I agree with that. I think, just to add a bit to it, England didn't rise to the provocation, broadly speaking, but what they did do, which I didn't agree with and which they need to stop doing, is play the victim. I mean, there's a situation, one or two situations, where England were in possession of the ball and players who would have been an option to be passed to are looking at the referee and appealing for things. It's like, right, this referee isn't going to give you anything. And you play at amateur level, you realise sometimes you get referees like that. Absolutely, you have to knuckle down and get on with it. Stop being the victim all the time.
No, I don't see that as being victimhood. I just see that as being clever, because the second half, there was a marked difference in the way that they managed the game, in that they would dive and they would fall over and they would do all stuff like that. Henderson wouldn't, after that headbutt, England players wouldn't normally kind of throw themselves on the floor, but he realised that the referee is blind and useless. And
that incident itself is a clear-cut example of how the referee wasn't up to the job. Mm. He's an experienced referee. So that was his sixth World Cup World Cup game. He refereed three games in 2014. He's an MLS ref, but he has been FIFA listed for 10 years.
Yeah.
But the incident you're talking about there, he didn't actually follow the protocol. He didn't implement VAR properly. VAR's not there for another official to referee the game. VAR is there to say to you, look, you might want to go and have a look at that. Yeah. And what he should have done was go and look at the TV screen, but maybe, and made his decision.
Maybe nobody said anything in his ear.
Well, how would he have known then? He didn't even see it.
But what was the...
Oh, I see what you mean.
He handed out a yellow card, which I don't understand. Was that to Barrio himself for the headbutt?
Yeah.
So then surely he's off. I don't know.
Yeah. I would, look, for what it's worth, Colombia, I think they've been a bit cute, but they're complaining about him as well. Mm. For what it's worth, I would be surprised to see him referee another game.
I agree with you, Luke. He lost control of the game.
But we have to be careful, because there's two reasons I think we have to be careful. One is because the fact that we went through in this game, and it's such a psychological boost for us, and it's a monkey off our back and all the rest of it, that's good. But that's not really a means to end itself. England were, I thought, particularly in the final third, actually quite poor.
Mm. They didn't create much at all.
They didn't take responsibility. They did almost what I ranted about Spain for doing. Playing the easy pass is lovely, but they couldn't play the killer balls well enough. And it wasn't that they couldn't do it, because I understand those passes are harder to execute. They weren't trying to do it enough. And secondly, I was actually quite surprised the extent that Southgate allowed the players to celebrate afterwards. Because, you know, there's a feeling now, I've got a feeling anyway, and I do trust Southgate to be on top of this, I suppose. But on one level, I fear that there's going to be a bit of an after the Lord Mayor show here against Sweden. Mm-hmm. And I think if we were playing anyone else apart from Sweden still left in the tournament, I think we'd be in big trouble.
I think, Sweden are very defensive. They are going to be able to control possession a lot of the time. So,
but what do you make of the celebrations, though, Pete, after the game? Did you think they were over the top?
I didn't see a lot of them. Are you talking about the players just coming out and just kind of celebrating with the fans? I don't have a massive problem with that. At the end of the day, they don't win shootouts. They went about their job quite professionally, and I think they're allowed a little bit of a celebration at the end of that. They're through to another knockout round. you know, it's just...
Well, England are now 2-5 favourites to go through against Sweden by whatever means necessary. £10 with Bet365 returns £14, including stake.
I have to say I actually like the celebrations because I think it's a chance to boost confidence, and that's definitely a good thing. And I think, actually, this team, they still probably need to get a bit of confidence and play a bit better, because this this lack of creating even chances, really, from open play is really, really bothering
me. Yeah, we're going to have to score a goal at some point.
Yeah, definitely. Like, how long do you ride that luck and sort of like hope that you get penalties? It worries me. Like, you look at this and you think they're playing to percentages, they're getting sort of scrappy goals off corners and penalties. That style remind you of anybody? Yeah. Remind you of anyone maybe sat at home or perhaps in a pub?
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. That's why I thought was it Sanchez or whoever it was fouled Kane and he's put the penalty away, I remember thinking, you idiot. England aren't creating much. You've essentially just handed England a golden opportunity. My concern with England would be, okay, they've got the penalty, they're 1-0 up, they're pretty much in control. Colombia are losing their heads. England, I remember sitting there thinking, we've got them. We've got them where we want them. We're 1-0 up, they're not doing much, that they are getting bookings. England should now finish them off or see the game out. You know, and if England were a little bit more canny, I think
they were canny.
Yeah, there was one lack of concentration and they scored.
Yeah.
I mean, which is
a shame. But there was a few chances with England going forward. You know, Lingard may have had a penalty, but it's moments like that where I think that you've got to finish them off. But for the goal, Jordan Henderson, if you watch it again, is on Mina.
He leaves him. He completely leaves him.
He gives him a little push, and Mina peels away around a little group of two England players and two Colombian players, and Mina's away, and Henderson stays there. Now, I know, you know, the fatigue and the mental fatigue comes into it and all the rest of it.
Concussion.
But that guy, he scored three headers from corners in three World Cup games now. He is the one that you have to have at least one player on.
I think that's
And he was given a free run, it nearly cost England so dear.
The problem is that Colombia have got... Falcao is a brilliant header of the ball for his height. He's a brilliant header of the ball. I mean, he's not the player he was 4 or 5 years ago, but he's still brilliant in the end. I think Maguire might have been on him, and I think Maguire is rated as our best header of the ball. Who, by the way, Maguire would have been my man of the match.
Really, he was superb.
And it's just that tiny bit of concentration that you get punished on. You have to be fair. If I'm going to be ultra critical of England, I do firmly mean that Colombia were worse, and they didn't look like scoring. That Carlos Bacca shot from outside the area, which Pickford brilliantly saved aside, which was 2 seconds before that.
Uribe, I think.
Oh, was it Uribe? Sorry. Yeah. And then that header...
Or Cuadrado, when was it Walker got caught in possession?
A couple of let-offs in there. There were two things I really wanted to see at this World Cup from an England perspective. One of which was, as I've discussed before on the show, England to win a penalty shootout. Yeah. And the other was to see Jamie Vardy score a goal at the World Cup, because I think that would just be a wonderful story. Well, and I thought Vardy was perfect for this game when he came on. Other people were sort of calling for Rashford, but I wanted to see Vardy come on, because if there's someone you want taking it down to the trenches who's not going to be fazed.
Yeah, I was going to say.
A bit of a kick here. He wasn't
fazed by the occasion. The problem is, though, Jim, to make a wider point on that, to expand on that, I think it's hard to be critical of Southgate because he has been so impressive with this group of players. But I think if you were going to level something at him, you would say he needs to make substitutions earlier.
Yes, I would say absolutely. That.
60 minutes in, it was clear that they needed legs.
Yeah.
Ali's walk. I mean, I think part of the reason they've got a few... I mean, Southgate came out after the game and said it's like a scene from MASH in there.
Yeah.
Right? Well, make your subs earlier then. You've got... And it may not seem like much to give a player 15 minutes off at the end of the game. Oh, he's already played 75 minutes. What does it matter? Well, statistically, those injuries happen when the players are tired.
Yeah.
And so Ali was walking on one leg.
Yeah. You know, Ali was earlier.
Kane was buggered as well.
Yeah, I can understand that the reason to keep Kane on.
I agree.
And he was dropping deep, and I thought Kane led the line magnificently as well. And I actually thought, and he was given the Man of Match award, and I thought that was right to do so, because what he kept doing, and I thought he was actually one of the reasons why I thought England were going to see the game out in 90 minutes. Every time he got the ball, he turned his back to the defender. He kept drawing fouls, taking the pressure off the defence, giving England a chance to deliver balls into the box and create opportunities. I thought Kane was superb. He was so strong and led so well from the front.
And that is such a selfless style of play, given the talent that Harry Kane has, because you know, England haven't been brilliant at actually getting him on the ball, to be fair, because I guess a lot of it is he's been very, very heavily marked.
Not in goal scoring position.
No, he's not. So he's working so hard there by doing what he can in a situation that doesn't play to his strength. So,
and he's also now, he's got 6 goals, he's 2-7 hot favourite to be the Golden Boot winner. £10 with Bet365 returns £12.86, including stake. I mean, you'd think he'd be nailed on now, given that Lukaku's behind him, but they're playing in Brazil. I feel the point you guys made about the open play chances and that kind of stuff, you know, if Kane is going to be continually wrestled to the ground in the penalty area every single game and score penalties,
that'll do, won't it?
It doesn't make it any less of a win. I mean, no, they're breaking the rules and being punished for it. You can't control what they're
going to
do.
There are no pictures on the golden boot.
No, exactly.
So it doesn't matter. The real low point in the match was that kid. There was an eerie kid in the crowd. And he had a sign saying,
Kane score a goal.
Yeah. And then later on, it was suspiciously cleanly written. It's like the WWE where they just hand out signs that they like.
Because the guy next to him had a Columbia
one. Saying Falcao the best. And it was so weird. I didn't get it at all.
I smell a rat.
The game. This goes deep.
Well, and the other guy further along that was Pete Donaldson, the best sidekick in England for me.
No, second best.
No, this guy was going all the way.
Oh, right.
But I'm out.
Which shows you he was a plant. It proves it beyond doubt.
Can I spare a special word for Kieran Trippier as well, who I thought was excellent. Yeah, he was very, very good. And the way he took his penalty, picked his spot, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I think as well, the game actually, speaking of WWE as we were, it felt like a sort of very modern, like WWE version of like the Battle of Santiago, very famously dirty game. But if you look into that game, that was like MMA dirty. That was brutal. But this kind of did have that.
There was a lot of pantomime, villains. It was very Hollywood, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like the scuffing up of the penalty spot before the penalty was taken. That's
a yellow card as well. I can't remember it was, but he was doing it very obviously. But he couldn't. But because the pitch was so good, the pitches he said are so good, he couldn't really make an input. It was. It would have been like doing it on like 3G. But very, very quickly before, I know we've got to move on. But England have got to lift themselves now badly. Yeah. I mean, it's a Tuesday game to a Saturday game. It's almost like a Champions League schedule. Mm. They've got a lot of fatigued players, and on that substitution point I made just a second ago, when they do make the substitutions, I get a feeling it sort of seems to affect their balance a little bit. I think he's got to make some brave decisions against Sweden, who again, all things being equal...
We'll talk about them in the second half.
Yeah, we should beat. But I think Ali and Sterling may need to come out of the team.
Yeah, well, I thought he should have taken off Sterling earlier. But just before we go to that break, the penalty shootout itself, we talked a little bit about, this is just from the fan in me point of view. When Henderson missed, I thought, oh, here we go again. But the fact that, was it Muriel, hit the bar straight after... It felt like, hang on a minute. And then I just felt Pickford's going to save this. He did. And everyone actually, when I was in the pub, celebrated like that was the win. And I'm going to hang on.
Massively.
And when Dyer stepped up, never have I willed something so much in all my life to happen. You know? Oh, my goodness.
Columbia, got a hand to it as well.
Columbia, you approached the game in a certain way and you deserved everything you got.
And we're going to talk about England's next opponent, Sweden, in just a moment.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my tube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back, everybody. The Swedes are in the quarterfinal. Who's Sven going to support?
it's hard to think of anything about this game now.
Yeah, well, I thought Sweden played quite well, actually. They beat Switzerland 1-0, of course.
Oh, that game was a deflection away from being 0-0 in the penalties there, wasn't it?
Well, Sweden created a number of opportunities, particularly in the first half, which Marcus Mountain didn't take. That's what Berg means in Sweden.
Love that. You know. Nice to have Marcus in there still.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're going to have a Marcus off, aren't we?
Yeah.
We need to get an update from our friend who's...
Let's get Marcus up there.
Well, Marcus, there's two more Marcuses. Two Marcuses still in, obviously Berg and Rashford.
Is this the first time Mark and I have met?
Might be.
Yeah.
If they touch each other, it might create a vortex to a Marcus dimension.
who are you rooting for, Marcus, in that game?
Probably England. Berg, he's destined not to score.
Shut up!
Apart from against England. Let me quickly add to that. He's destined not to score, but he's still playing an important part for Sweden.
Yeah.
He's an important player for them. And I actually wanted him to score because I think, apart from the not scoring, he's had a decent World Cup, but he did slash a half volley wide quite early on, which sort of set the tone, sadly, for parts of that game.
He's basically, essentially, he's not a very good forward. And the problem, and what that means is...
But his hold-up plays, he can lead the line, he's just not clinical.
He's 101 to score a hat-trick against England with Bet365. So £10 that return, £1,010 including stake.
Worth a quid? Yeah. Worth two, I'd say. After the Lord Mayor's show, as you say, Luke. Ekdal had a volley which went over the bar, and you were crying out for the diving header there. When
what he attempted there was a technique that he simply does not have the ability to execute.
He'd seen it happen before.
Throw your head at it, pal. Yeah, throw your head at it.
I think it's a difficult height, but
I think both teams didn't have any players that could put the ball in the net, and that's kind of dogged Switzerland a little bit in this tournament. They need a striker, but they don't have it.
They've been short of a top quality striker for a long time.
Xhaka had a long ranger. He's got those in his locker. About maybe one in ten of those kind of goes in, which is a pretty good ratio. But he did absolutely. And it,
I feel like when I watch Xhaka play, I feel a bit like he is just passing the time until he can have another shot.
Well, he's fake, according to Phil Neville.
Phil Neville says a lot of things, but
whispers a lot of things.
But for Xhaka to play in that position, I sort of side with Neville's sentiment that for Xhaka to play in that position and to have the physical profile he's got, you'd think he'd be better.
Yeah, he's not a defensive
doing
midfielder.
Those things. Yeah.
That's the thing. There is this idea of him that he's a defensive midfielder.
It's because he always plays in that position.
Yeah, he's sort of a deep lying playmaker.
He needs to tell his coach.
But yeah, absolutely. But
sorry, I'm happy to do it. But you do know I'm a forward, don't you? Oh, really? You should have said.
Yeah. I just feel Switzerland were very disappointing, weren't they? Like, because we know they're very difficult to beat, and they're highly ranked. And I just thought they'd have a bit more about them. They just didn't seem to.
They were disappointing.
Just didn't have enough guile. No. I think they bottled it a bit. I think the occasion got to them.
They're an underrated team as far as that they've got a lot of good players and people don't seem to consider them when they talk about teams going deep in a tournament like this. But at the same time, what happens to them is at odds to that reputation because whenever they're expected to sort of go, they go. Mm. Do you know what I mean? They came up against, who did they come up against last time? Was it Argentina?
Yes. And they played all the way. Di Maria scored deep into extra time.
And Shaqiri played well, but ultimately they went out.
Yeah, they did.
And I don't get the impression, they beat Spain in 2010 in the group stage, didn't they?
They did.
But generally speaking, they don't really tend to overachieve. In a way, they're a bit like England. I think they've got a lot of decent players. Akanji looks a really good centre-back. I really like Barami. I mean, he's unspectacular, but he does all the basic stuff really well. He's a real like example for young players coming through playing in that position because he seems to make the right decision a lot. He can do all the basic stuff. I mean, of course, Shaqiri, if he's motivated, and he was actually, he did quite, it seemed like he fancied it. He's good. Sommer, I think, is a good keeper as well, actually, I have to say.
Yeah.
But it just didn't quite click for them, didn't quite happen. And Sweden were very, very solid. And that's gonna be a puzzle for England to actually try and solve, I think.
I feel like, you know, we all know that there's athletic prowess is transferable in a lot of ways. And I feel for Switzerland, when they're lacking goals, give Roger Federer a go. Yeah. He's one of the greatest sportsmen of all time.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really say that about many other Swiss athletes. Just give him a go.
If his hand-to-foot coordination is even like 20% as good as his hand-to-eye coordination, he will be better than who they usually play up front.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he is like about 36 now.
Yeah, but you know.
Yeah, true.
You know, look at Ignatievich.
Yeah, he played well.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
It's true. Sweden, of course, in the World Cup quarterfinals for the first time since 1994, which was the last time they reached a semi-final of a World Cup. See, they reached a semi-final of a World Cup more recently than England.
It's mad, isn't it? We talk about sort of how strange this World Cup is, but I think if you look at 94, Bulgaria and Sweden in the semis, did we underrate how mad that was?
I think we did.
It's one of those tournaments that, for me, the age I was, it sort of went under the radar because England weren't in it.
Yeah, and also we didn't really know the context as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Janne Andersson has done a great job with Sweden, you have to say. I mean, this Sweden side, you know, in the playoff against Italy, we go all the way back there, you would have fancied Italy. They came through that after they'd come through a tough qualifying group.
Because they were solid. Absolutely. Robust, they just didn't concede. I think they kept two clean sheets over that playoff.
No, you say, well, Italy aren't that great. But in the group, they're playing against South Korea, they're playing against a good Mexico side. Germany, not many people. I think a lot of people may well have thought, and they can be forgiven for thinking, that Sweden were one of the poorer sides going into this tournament. They're now in the flipping quarterfinals.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you look at all the teams that have made it, Russia are a bit of a surprise, but host nation and all that kind of chat. It is a surprise, though, and any Russian will say that, I'm sure. Yeah. But Sweden being in there is brilliant, and that it's so good for the tournament that a side like that, and it's so encouraging for England as well, and for a lot of other nations, when they see a Sweden side, do the basics, organise yourselves, team spirit, all the rest of it. And Rory Smith wrote an interesting piece about how having Zlatan Ibrahimovic not there has massively helped them. And he said, in being weaker, they are sort of stronger, if you know what I mean. More cohesive unit, team spirit, so on and so forth. And the Swedes have done that fantastically. And it is a massive up yours to that absolute knobhead in the Germany technical staff who went over to them and mailed them off.
Oh, it's beautiful.
That was amazing. This has been quite a schadenfreudery World Cup.
It really has.
Sweden, to me, I might get a little bit of stick for saying this, but hopefully you guys might see what I mean. They're almost like a better Iceland.
They do what Iceland do, but they do it better.
You know what I mean? So. And I don't know why that is, perhaps because they've got better players.
We're going to lose. Yeah.
So we'll lose 3-1 and not 2-1.
Bombard us with long throw-ins. I mean, all they've got is the big boy, Berg, up front.
Yeah. Oh, no. quickly, Kevin, will he score? Marcus, so what you saw of Sweden, would you say, all things being equal, now I know they're not equal because we don't know what the state of England's squad is with their injuries and stuff, do you think that Sweden will trouble England?
I think Sweden have Sweden have less going forward than Colombia do, but Sweden are not going to lose their heads for period of the game like Colombia did.
It's going to look more like a football match, isn't it?
It'll be more. You'd hope it would be more of a gentlemanly affair. but play. I think Terry Butcher said, you know, the Swedes, they're hard, but they're fair, and that's not. Yeah, let me say that this is not like all the Swedes are a pushover. Absolutely not. I mean, look at Granqvist at centre half for Sweden. You know, he does look about 45, but he was man of the match. He's had a great World Cup. You know, nerves of steel with his penalty taking. Sweden will deny England a lot of space.
Absolutely,
they will play deep. They won't let England get in behind. They will look to nullify, and they will probably do so for the large amount. Hopefully, not too much from my point of view, but nullify England's pace. And they don't have a lot of possession. They averaged 33% possession. 38% possession in the group. They had 33% of possession against Switzerland. So they don't offer too much on the ball and so on. However, they get through. They get the odd goal. They're good from set pieces and so on. And we know that England have struggled when teams play deep and deny them space. So Sweden will look to do that. And Sweden, let's be honest, will feel confident about playing England. You know, England, if you'd have offered all seven quarterfinal opponents to England, they probably would have taken Sweden. Well, Sweden might well have taken England as well.
Because Sweden need to change nothing about their game.
Absolutely right. Last time England, they know their jobs.
Yeah. Last time England played Sweden in an international tournament, it was a barn burner.
We were there.
And we were there. 3-2 to England.
Oh, is Danny Welbeck the key?
Yeah, get him in.
A man in a Viking hat pulled a sink off a wall.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. It was so good.
It's a strange time.
I mean, it wasn't good because
Why
of that.
Why was that
bit.
Good?
Yeah.
It was just, if it was like... an England fan, you'd go, oh, hooligan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
No, he was an England fan the rest of the week.
infiltrate them.
Man needed a sink.
Yeah. To be fair, I do need one of these, so you don't judge me, all right?
He did turn around and say, how are you doing for sinks?
Yeah. I think I might have a picture of that. It might be on my old phone.
I'm going to sell the boss of this pub a sink.
What about sending off for Switzerland right at the end?
It's one of those situations where you've just got to do it. Yeah. You're a defender. It's a knockout game of football. Do I risk this? Yes, I do. You had to do it.
I found it funny. Olsen was taking a while, obviously, getting there and so on. And it was almost like Olsen was looking over his shoulder going, are you going to foul me?
Yeah.
Hurry up, because I'd rather get a penalty.
One thing that wasn't mentioned in the coverage, which I thought was worth pointing out, is that Olsen, who I think is a really good player, and he's a very experienced player, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
The first thing he does when he's away is he almost goes out of his way to step across a defender and say, right, I'm not getting involved in the foot race with you. I'm in front of you now. I'm putting the decision in your hands. You've got to do what you've got to do. I'm either going to score or you're going to get sent off or give me a penalty. There's no outcome here, which is not going to benefit my team. I thought that was a really, really clever thing to do.
Yeah, indeed.
And ultimately, Sweden deserved to go through, and but you're right. I mean, as we said yesterday, England come into this tournament with where you think, wow, it's a learning one for us. We've got a good young squad and who knows what could happen. But as I said yesterday, you get into this now and you look at the way the chips have fallen and you think, if I don't get to a semi here, they'll not because I'm judging them or because I think they, you know, I'm going to get annoyed. It's because they'll regret it if they don't.
Completely. And that was so crucial going back to England-Colombia. If England had have lost that penalty shootout, the psychological blow would have been more than it's ever been because Southgate trying to turn this team around, basically saying we're not going to be dogged by history.
It would have been reduced to rubble. We'd have to start again.
Writing our own stories for these players, blah, blah, blah. And I think there is a sense of hope. People are going, you know what? The tide is turning. Had England have lost that shootout, I think people would have been more disillusioned with England than ever.
It was such a gut punch to go to extra time in the first place, I think. I was like, oh. Good.
So
we're back to this, are we?
If you had asked
controlling the most of the game under extreme provocation, it was such a gut bust.
And then Dyer's header at the end.
We're going back to England now, because that's fine, because the Sweden game was boring. if you had asked me when they scored that equaliser and we knew we were going into extra time, what chance England had of going through, honestly, I'd have said less than 1%. For them to turn that momentum round, not once, but twice when they missed, they were the first team to miss a penalty. And by the way, if you've got a spare 5 minutes, go and look at the statistics on that. If you're the team who misses the penalty first, you've got a tiny chance of winning. For them to turn it around twice, I think was so mentally beneficial to them. If they can lift themselves, I don't know about you guys, but I'm absolutely knackered today. If they feel half as knackered as me, I've got no chance of being fit for a game on Saturday. Yeah. So hopefully they can use the squad properly, give a bit of confidence to those players who want to come in and do well, make the right decisions, approach the game properly, and then when the game's happening, I'd like to see the coaching staff try and affect the game a bit more and be a bit more positive a bit earlier. If they can do all those things, I mean, they should beat Sweden. Yeah, and if you're a non-England fan listening to this, I'm not saying, oh God, this is England, we're brilliant, being really arrogant about it. It's an opportunity they've got to take.
Of course.
And if they don't, there'll be no one more annoyed than me.
Then that side of the draw, there's opportunities for all four of those sides.
100%.
You know, look at Sweden, as I say, they'll be thinking, we can get at England, and they'll be pleased that England went to extra time. But Croatia and Russia as well. That side of the draw, people, there's not too many quality teams. Yes, the other side of the draw is far stronger, of course. And you would certainly suggest that the other side of the draw will produce the winner. But that's why I like the juxtaposition of both. You know, it's nice to have a bit of yin and yang.
I'd like to address the England fans very quickly. If you are watching in a pub and we do get to another penalty shootout, put your fucking beer down. Right?
Yeah.
Throwing beers around is
disrespectful to the beer.
How about this? If you're in a pub watching
the
next England game,
probably.
If you're in the Marcus and Jim, you can come in with this. Yep. If you're in an England pub watching an England game and they score, and you happen to be in the same pub as Pete Donaldson,
beer at him.
You have my permission to pour that beer over his head. No. I will buy you a replacement and an extra one.
No, Pete probably will.
No. Yeah,
that's
sorry
his
about that, mate.
Spirit.
Oh, I put my head right on your pint.
Yeah,
I got a free pint, so I'm just ring out of my top, haven't I?
Luke Moore, what is our best bet with Bet365?
I've seen you do that before. Our best bet with Bet365, it's time for another one. Over 3.5 goals in Uruguay v France.
Ooh.
At 9-2. We fancy a bit of a barn burner there. £50 will return £275. Should we see four goals or more in 90 minutes.
All
proceeds go to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. For more information, go to begambleaware.org. That is our best bet with Bet365.
Love that. Should we finish with some correspondy?
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a couple to...
People been in touch already, have they? Through their hungover, beery...
Oh, I tell you what, around about 11 o'clock, we got about... About 11 o'clock, we got about 50 long, rambling emails from drunk men.
I just poured beer into my computer. I hope it sent it to you.
Yeah, and Ian Botham's Welly came up. James Tartus is back.
He's always emailing.
James Tartus, he's the guy who gave us, obviously, the updates on the market.
He's come out of his shell, certainly.
Yeah, stop this. Now I've had time to calm down. I can update you chaps on the latest Marcus, Jim, Luke and Pete status. This is moving to the quarterfinals.
Oh, good.
Marcus's seven players that made out of the group has plummeted to just three.
Up your spell up.
Pleasingly, they're all a correct spelling too, but let's hope there's only one Marcus in the semi, as Big Rashford disposes of Berg and Roden.
Yep.
So we're guaranteed a Marcus at the semi final.
Yeah.
The departure of Rodriguez is slugs at the hands of Gareth Braith boys. Sees Jim with two representatives moving forward.
Jimmy Dermas.
Yeah.
And Jamie Vardy.
Saturday's huge because we look to see Vardy mug off Jimmy.
We'll actually definitely have a Jim in there as well, then.
Yeah.
Or a derivation of it.
Yes. Yeah.
Two Lucases and one Luca remain for Mr. Moore, with one of Hernandez or Torreira to be dumped out in Friday's huge clash. Despite not playing a single second so far, Pete's sole representative is now Brazil's Garamel. Is it Garamel or Jeremel?
Oh, Jeremel. Sure. Jeremel. Okay, right.
Yeah, so either way, you still got three in the competition, Marcus. Two for Jim. Three for Luke and only one solitary.
I love that, but you've got a Brazilian. You're playing the James Tortoise and the Hare kind of
guaranteed final then.
Can I tentatively, and we'll have to pass this on majority, because I think
we have shred a few Marcuses there.
I think one of us might not agree to this, but if we can push it through in a majority rule, then we can. I mean, the referee last night was called Mark Geiger. And that's a sort of derivation of Marcus. You need to take some responsibility for that.
I do not, because they're two different names.
Okay.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
England were very much the Geiger counter in many ways.
I can't believe you're claiming Pedro Guerrimel. Pedro
is the form of Pete. Yeah. Jamie Vardy and Jim, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. It's derivations of James.
Yeah. I know what it is, but I'm just saying that he's been, presumably, James was written on his birth certificate, you would imagine.
Yeah, but on the other hand, shut up.
Yeah. Oh, he's got me there.
We got an email from Nicholas. We're talking about Granit Xhaka.
Why are we arguing about this?
Hang on a minute.
Sorry.
Jamie Vardy's name is legally Jamie Vardy, not James.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
I think we're getting in the weeds of this one, lads.
James Tortoise, let us know what you think.
Jim Tortoise.
I'm more than happy to do a derivative section, but good lord. Nicholas has got in touch. I think I'll go on to the park and pick daisies on Saturday afternoon. We were talking about Granit Xhaka taking pot shots whenever he fancies. Yeah. I've enjoyed watching all the other teams, but I just cannot cope watching England, although I did enjoy Alan Shearer singing Football's Coming Home, the highlights.
Oh, Shearer's never looked happier.
P.S. I sometimes play football with the mighty speller and can confirm he does shoot at every opportunity,
at least
until he gets tired.
Yeah. Hang on, who was the email?
It doesn't matter.
Take it up later, Marcus. Nicholas. Take it up with him later.
No, you've got to say the name.
Nicholas Bensberg.
Never heard of him. I know him. I'll put a few past him, let me tell you. I know your weak side, Nicholas, as well.
Yeah. And Matt Williams.
Did that on your stag, did you?
Yeah. Matt Williams, testicle Matt, got in touch basically saying that he's having a lovely time. He's living in a ghetto of St. Gallen. In Switzerland. The group stage has proved interesting because they have the largest immigrant population in Europe, so it's just a lot of car horns just being blaring all the time.
Where is this in Switzerland, did you say?
St. Gallen.
He gets around. He was living in Mexico City at one point.
I know, right?
Well, they've gone out. Yeah. Oh, no, so Switzerland. Yeah. Come home!
he does make it clear that this ghetto does have a Bentley and a Lamborghini garage, by the way.
Swiss ghetto is not really...
It all changed last night. It was very quiet. It was very nice to get a bit of rest. And he does finish the email by saying, as it's World Cup time, I use the opportunity to get the little fellas checked out. All is good on that front. On a serious note, I urge all of the men folk to get checked regularly, as they may as well get their prostate checked while they're down there. So,
all right, testicle Matt.
Yeah.
Oh, tweet, testicle. Well, send us a picture and Pete will tweet it.
You get here for him for 3 years and he comes and giving lectures out.
No, he's an ambassador for testicle health.
Yeah. Exactly.
Good for him.
We've had a couple of players this football tournament getting it in the ghoulie, so, you know, got to get them checked out, guys. And while you're down there, get your finger up your bum.
All right.
Right, Marcus,
Andy
let's go.
Gray.
Let's
or go. Anyone else's.
Don't check your own prostate. Get a professional to do it.
That's getting clipped.
No, that's not
foolish.
Funny. It's a serious issue.
Foolish.
The pub's open in 25 minutes. Pete needs to get there. So.
It's a serious issue. Thank you very much for listening to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. We will be back
on Saturday.
On Saturday.
Which is a big day.
A couple of days off for us.
Yeah.
Everybody. So back on Saturday.
I feel sick. Not just because of the alcohol.
But mostly because of that.
Yeah, yeah. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy Campbell.
Easy.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Easy.
Thank you from me and from London.
Yes, London. London, goodbye.
Don't check your own prostate. Don't check your own prostate.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.